Good afternoon. This is Akashvani and I am Valsa Williams with the Midday News. The headlines. The Supreme Court allows deployment of judicial officers from Jharkhand and Odisha for claim verification under special intensive revision in West Bengal. Chief Election Commissioner Ganesh Kumar emphasizes on pure electoral rolls, says it is bedrock of any democracy. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan says tourism is a powerful instrument for soft diplomacy and a key pillar of the India-US economic corridor. Inaugurates Tourism Leadership Summit 2026 in New Delhi. Country's GDP growth likely at 8.1% in the third quarter of current fiscal year amid strong domestic demand, highlights SBI report. And in the ICC Men's T20 Cricket World Cup, England to take on Pakistan in a Group 2 Super 8 match in Sri Lanka this evening. The Supreme Court has permitted the Chief Justice of the Calcutta High Court to deploy civil judges and requisition judicial officers from neighbouring Jharkhand and Odisha to deal with 80 lakh claims and objections under the Special Intensive Revision SIR of electoral rolls in West Bengal. A bench, headed by Chief Justice Suryakant, took note of a letter from the Calcutta High Court Chief Justice stating that 250 district judges engaged in the exercise would require around 80 days to complete the verification process. Considering the time constraints, the Apex Court allowed the deployment of additional civil judges and asked the Calcutta High Court to seek judicial officers of similar rank from Jharkhand and Odisha. The court directed the Election Commission to bear the expenses for deploying officers from the two states. It also permitted the poll panel to publish the final electoral roll on the 28th of February and clarified that supplementary lists may be issued as verification progresses. Earlier expressing concern over the dispute between the West Bengal government and the Election Commission, the court had ordered deployment of serving and former district judges to assist in completing the revision exercise. Chief Election Commissioner Ganesh Kumar has emphasized on pure electoral rolls in the country, saying it is the bedrock of any democracy. Mr. Kumar said this while addressing the National Roundtable Conference of Election Commission of India and State Election Commissioners at Bharat Mandapam in New Delhi today. The Chief Election Commissioner said the Special Intensive Revision exercise was started to include all the eligible electors in the electoral rolls, while ineligible electors should be excluded from it.
Pure electoral rolls are the bedrock of any democracy. And the Election Commission of India, in its historic pursuit, started this special intensive revision, wherein which all eligible electors should be inside the rolls, while at the same time, ineligible electors should be excluded, in line with Article 326 of the Indian Constitution.
The CEC asserted that apart from making the electoral roll pure and accessible, the Election Commission also stresses on transparency and ease in voting.
Apart from electoral rolls, making them pure and making them accessible, making them easy for identifying a voter who should be a citizen of India, the Commission also stresses the transparency and ease of voting.
The primary objective of the conference is to host synergies in the functioning of the Election Commission and State Election Commissioners with respect to electoral processes and logistics within their legal frameworks. The roundtable conference is being held after a gap of 27 years. The last such conference was held in the year 1999. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan today inaugurated the Tourism Leadership Summit 2026 organized by the U.S.-India Strategic Partnership Forum in New Delhi. Addressing the gathering, Mr. Radhakrishnan said, tourism is more than an industry, it is a bridge between cultures and a driver of economic opportunities. He said tourism is a powerful instrument for soft diplomacy and a key pillar of the India-U.S. economic corridor.
Tourism is also one of the largest generators of employment. By investing in training, entrepreneurship and women-led enterprises, we can also ensure that growth is inclusive and community-driven. The future of tourism is not just about numbers, it is about the impact. It is about how responsibly we grow, how inclusively we develop, and how strategically we collaborate.
The Vice President highlighted that travellers seek experiences, authenticity, sustainability, culture, heritage, wellness and meaningful connection. Mr. Radhakrishnan said tourism is one of the largest employment generators. He stressed on investing in skills, entrepreneurship and women-led enterprises to ensure inclusive and sustainable growth of the tourism sector. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will be embarking on a two-day state visit to Israel from tomorrow. The Prime Minister is scheduled to hold wide-ranging talks with his Israeli counterpart, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, in Tel Aviv. Later, a series of programs will be held in Jerusalem. Ambassador of India to Israel, J.P. Singh, has termed Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Israel as historic. Talking to Akashwani News in Jerusalem, Mr. Singh said India and Israel are on the same page on the issue of terrorism.
On terrorism front, India's policy is very clear. As Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi ji has already said many times that we have zero tolerance policy on terrorism. In this particular front, I think India and Israel are on the same page. And whenever there has been a crisis, both the countries stand with each other.
Mr. Singh said when Prime Minister Modi visited Israel in 2017, both the leaders had laid the foundation for strengthening of bilateral ties. He further added that the time has come to build on that strategic partnership and take it to a new phase. Giving information of PM Modi's visit, he said several agreements will be signed after the talks between both prime ministers.
Prime Minister will be addressing Knesset. This will be the first address by any Indian Prime Minister. It's going to be a very important speech. Through the Knesset, Prime Minister will be addressing the Israeli as well as the Indian citizens. And I think the whole of Israel is going to watch. And his speech will focus on various areas of cooperation.
We have more details from our correspondent, Dheeraj Kakadia, in Jerusalem.
Immediately after landing in Tel Aviv, the Prime Minister will be holding a private meeting with his Israeli counterpart, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. Rest of all the programs of the Prime Minister are organized in Jerusalem only. On day one, the main program is to address to the Israeli parliament Knesset. Narendra Modi will be the first Indian leader to address the Israeli parliament. He will also be participating in a community event where he is likely to interact with the people of Indian origin settled in Israel. The Prime Minister is also scheduled to take part in tech exhibition. Day 2 will begin with the visit to Yad Vashem. It is a Holocaust memorial. Thereafter, he will depart for a meeting with President Mr. Isaac Herzog. After bilateral talks with President, the Prime Minister will be having an extended meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. Both leaders will be finalizing the documents of agreement and exchange of agreements in presence of both leaders. After this, Prime Minister is scheduled to depart for Tel Aviv and therefrom for India.
This is Akashwani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. Welcome back to the Midday News. A Delhi court today granted 4 days police custody of Indian Youth Congress President Uday Bhanu Chib in connection with the protest held at Bharat Mandapam during the India AI Impact Summit 2026. According to officials, Chib is accused of being the main conspirator and mastermind behind the incident of unlawful assembly and was reportedly involved in raising anti-national slogans. Delhi police allege that Chib, in conspiracy with other co-accused, obstructed and assaulted police officials on duty and during interrogation. The police stated that the investigation into the case is ongoing and Chib's custody has been sought for further questioning and proper investigation. Addressing the media in New Delhi today, BJP spokesperson Gaurav Bhatia alleged that Congress leader Rahul Gandhi was a mastermind behind this act. He demanded that Mr. Gandhi and Congress President Mallikarjun Kharge must apologize to the countrymen. Over the arrest of Indian Youth Congress President, BJP spokesperson Shehzad Poonawalla said the act of the Congress was not even supported by its own leaders and alliance partners. Talking to media in New Delhi today, Mr. Poonawalla alleged that the act which happened at Bharat Mandapam was deep conspiracy and senior Congress leaders, including Rahul Gandhi, were part of that conspiracy.
जो किया गया एआई समिट पर भारत मंडपम में
व्हाट हैपेंड एट द एआई समिट एट भारत मंडपम वाज नॉट द एक्ट ऑफ फोर और फाइव इंडिविजुअल इट वाज पार्ट ऑफ अ डीप कॉन्स्पिरेसी इन विच राहुल गांधी हिमसेल्फ अलोंग विद अदर सीनियर कांग्रेस लीडर्स वाज एलिजेडली इन्वॉल्व देयर पास्ट रिकॉर्ड हैज बीन नोटेड द कॉन्स्पिरेसी टू स्प्रेड मिस इन्फॉर्मेशन मिस रिप्रेजेंटेशन एंड डिफॉर्मेशन अगेंस्ट इंडिया वॉज एलिजेडली कैरिड आउट बाई राहुल गांधी हु हैज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड बाई क्रिटिक्स एज बीइंग लिंक्ड टू जॉर्ज सोरोस
राहुल गांधी ने उठाया
Meanwhile, the Congress has condemned the arrest of its youth wing chief and workers. In a social media post, party general secretary in charge communications, Jairam Ramesh, said the protest was peaceful and legitimate. He added that the arrest made by the Delhi police is completely illegal. The country's economy is estimated to have grown by 8.1% in the third quarter of the current financial year. This has been stated in a research report released today by the State Bank of India. A report.
According to the report, high-frequency indicators suggest that economic activity remained resilient in the quarter ended 31st December 2025. It noted that the economy has sustained strong growth momentum despite global headwinds. The report said rural consumption continues to remain robust, backed by encouraging trends in both farm and non-farm sectors. It also observed that urban consumption has recorded a steady uptick since the last festive season, supported by fiscal stimulus. The assessment comes at a time when India is set to revise its GDP base year from 2011-12 to 2022-23. The new GDP series is scheduled to be released on the 27th of February 2026. With Ankit's report, Anuja Kumar, Akashwani News, Delhi.
The government's asset monetization initiative under the National Monetization Pipeline, NMP 2.0, is expected to increase the country's GDP by 40 lakh crore rupees over the next 5 to 10 years. Niti Aayog's report has highlighted that asset monetization is expected to play a key role in boosting infrastructure investment and supporting economic growth by unlocking value from existing public assets and reinvesting the proceeds into new infrastructure projects. In the ICC Men's T20 Cricket World Cup, England will take on Pakistan in a Group 2 Super 8 match at the Palekele International Cricket Stadium in Sri Lanka this evening. The match will start at 7 p.m. Earlier, the West Indies defeated Zimbabwe by 107 runs in the Super 8 match of Group 1 at the Wankhede Stadium in Mumbai last night. Chasing a target of 255 runs set by the West Indies, Zimbabwe managed to score only 147 runs in 17.4 overs. In women's cricket, Australia was 61 for 2 in 13 overs against India in the first ODI match played at Brisbane, Australia. Earlier, batting first, India scored 214 runs. Smriti Mandhana held the early part of the innings with a knock of 58 from 68 balls. Harmanpreet scored 53 off 84 deliveries to steady the innings after early setbacks. Benchmark domestic equity indices, Sensex and Nifty, were trading around 1.4% lower during afternoon trade today. The Sensex slipped 1,225 points to 82,072, while the Nifty shed 345 points to 25,368 when reports last came in. Among the sectoral indices, the IT index plunged around 5% amid persistent concerns over artificial intelligence-led disruption. Weakness was also seen in realty, telecommunication and chemicals. The India Meteorological Department has forecast light to moderate rainfall accompanied by thunderstorm, lightning and gusty winds over the Andaman and Nicobar Islands till tomorrow. Similar conditions with scattered rainfall are likely to prevail over Gangetic, West Bengal, Jharkhand and Odisha for today. The Met Department has also predicted thunderstorms accompanied with lightning over Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Meghalaya, Sikkim, Sub-Himalayan, West Bengal, East Madhya Pradesh, Vidarbh, Chhattisgarh, Telangana, Coastal, Andhra Pradesh. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. The Supreme Court allows deployment of judicial officers from Jharkhand and Odisha for claim verification under special intensive revision in West Bengal. Chief Election Commissioner Gyanesh Kumar emphasizes on pure electoral rolls, says it is the bedrock of any democracy. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan says tourism is a powerful instrument for soft diplomacy and a key pillar of the India-US economic corridor. Inaugurates Tourism Leadership Summit 2026 in New Delhi. Country's GDP growth likely at 8.1% in the third quarter of current fiscal year amid strong domestic demand, highlights SBI report. And in ICC Men's T20 Cricket World Cup, England to take on Pakistan in Group 2 Super 8 match in Sri Lanka this evening. With that, we end the midday news.